This message, entitled Prophesying with Power, Number 1, The Battle for All by Guy Miller and Julian Adams, was recorded at the New Frontiers Together on a Mission Conference 2007 in Brighton.
If you want to grab a seat, I want to try and make the most of the time we have together. Welcome to this seminar track on prophecy. Just to be really in the flow of everything that God's saying at the moment with this conference, this idea of this track is that it isn't going to be just cerebral, it's going to be impartational, so we're hoping that half of the time will be spent teaching and the other half of the time we hope we'll be ministering prophetically, open to the Holy Spirit. And so it might be good just to invite the Holy Spirit right from the word go over the whole of this time. Why don't you stand? Why don't you lift your voices? And why don't we just cry out to God? Oh God, would you come today in power? Would you, Lord, storm heaven and enable the power of God? Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Can you put that in my eyelid read?
Father, we're here to bring you joy today. We want to be in the Spirit for the whole session, Lord. We want to be for the whole day enjoying the presence of God. And we pray for encounter today. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, there'd be strength, there'd be comfort, there'd be encouragement, there'd be power dynamics over everything that is shared, everything that is spoken. Lord, we pray you would equip us and you would speak to us powerfully as we meet with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats. I hope there's enough seats. There should be. Just press along the rows, make sure there's enough room for people. There's a few more seats down here on my right. Just to introduce myself, my name's Guy Miller and I'm one of the leaders in Bournemouth. And I was asked some time ago by Terry if I would team up with Julian to be involved in this track. And I was excited by the prospect of doing that. And as I sought God about it, I just felt that God wanted to take the gift of prophecy away from the tame and the sense of just the normal and into the realm of what God really wants us to be equipped with, into the battle realm. So I feel, you know, that army sort of mentality today. I can remember when I was a young man, I went to a bonfire party, and the guy who was responsible for the fireworks had taken the control of a big metal bucket with all the fireworks in, and he lit the first firework, and in his haste to move away from it, knocked it over into the bin. And there was a sort of delay, and then there was this most enormous pyromaniac sort of blistering rockets fizzing over our heads and bangs, and 3 minutes later it was all over. And you know, when it comes to the prophetic, sometimes we can just think, wow, we just want a firework display, and then 3 minutes later, well, what was all that about? And as I was seeking God, I felt God, and the titles for the three tracks are The Battle for All, The Battle for Truth, and The Battle for Team. I felt that we needed to understand that God, in his great mercy, has called us, his church, into a battle. And it's a battle that we're guaranteed victory in, but it's a battle that he's given gifts, grace gifts, to enable his troops to succeed. And one of the most important things we need in this battle is communication from heaven. Because if whether we're in a foxhole or whether we're taking massive strides forward, taking ground for King Jesus, we need to understand that he is a speaking God who speaks clearly to his people to enable his people to take ground for him. And so I'm really excited about these times. I was I was trying to think about three things that I hope this seminar will achieve, or these seminars will achieve. Three things to debunk. One of them were myths, I think, that around the prophetic. One is that prophets are weird. They're weird guys who have that manic look on their face. And when they look in you, they're reading your emails, they're reading your journals. They're just weirdos. They can't get a girlfriend for love nor money. Actually, yeah, thinking about it. Actually, we should get all the single girls here to stand and we'll just pray for Julian. The second myth I really hope we will debunk is that prophets are stars. Actually, they're servants. They're alongside pastors and teachers and evangelists and other gifts that God has given the church to equip the church. And that's what they're here to do. They're servants to equip you for your work of ministry. And thirdly, the real big one I'm hoping tomorrow when I'm doing my session to debunk is the whole super spirituality aspect of you almost need a word from God to go to the loo in this meeting. You know, has God said I can go or not? I'm not sure. I'm just waiting on. I was quite tempted to put out a card for this seminar, a bit like this one, a prophecy guy. I thought I could make a fortune with these. And you press a button like that. And then eventually it will stop. And we'll tell you, what does it say? It says you don't have to give into the Brighton offering this week. You know, it's a great...
Speak it!
Anybody want to buy one of these, you know? All that's left for me to do is introduce the people who will be sharing this week. When I was told I'd be sharing with Julian, I thought to myself, wow, we're going to have some grenades going off in this battle over these few seminars. And then I met up with Sam Poe from America, who is an amazing man. I thought, wow, the firepower is increasing massively. And then I was introduced to Keith Hazel, who's sitting down next to Sam, who's another friend, not from New Frontiers, but someone who's come and blessed this movement again and again. And he's come all the way over from Canada to be with us on these three things. And I just want them to stand because they're going to be taking part in the ministry session that will come after Julian's teaching and over the next 3 days. And we're looking for God to really help us. So I'd like you three, if you wouldn't mind standing, let's just welcome them. And and let's welcome Julian as he comes to speak.
Get some space. Great. Well, it's really good to be here this morning. Just want to say that I'm sure I can get a girlfriend. I think I'm cool. And and no, I'm not called to celibacy. Great. Well, I'm really excited about these times together. One of my passions is to see the church be all that she is in terms of the things of the Spirit, in terms of flowing in the prophetic. I thank God that the day of superstars is over. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That we believe in every member ministry, don't we? And this morning, I'm trusting that there will be a real impartation and a release of equipping for you to do the stuff. I'm just so aware that church is boring without the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
In fact, church is boring without the Holy Spirit, full stop. And I have been to a number of meetings where I don't even know if God visited. It's true. And I've been going to church since before I was born. My mum and dad are... Some of you are trying to work that one out, aren't you? My mum and dad lead a church in Simonstown, and I've grown up in charismania. I've grown up in seeing weird and wonderful things happening, people swinging from chandeliers, the whole treat. I've seen the hallelujah hops and the Pentecostal two-step shuffle. I've grown up with that. And, you know, there's nothing more exciting than when you see the real thing. When you see men and women under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit bring words that are life-changing, directional, and completely amazing. Just before I get stuck into doing some teaching, I want to advertise some books that have just shaped me. I promise you I don't get a cut out of this, so really, I just want to advertise a number of books very quickly, because I think these will really help you, and they're in the bookstore, and I think that good theology shapes good practice. And it's important that we have a good theology about the Holy Spirit and His working today. First is Convergence by a guy called Sam Storms, who was a cessationist, didn't believe in anything to do with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's now a radical charismaniac. Not quite. He's thoroughly evangelical, thoroughly theological, and thoroughly baptized in the Holy Spirit and understands the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This book has really been helpful for me to provide answers to evangelical friends who no longer or don't believe or embrace the things of the Spirit. It's really good. And then two very classic books, and this book, Surprised by the Voice of God by Jack Deere, has been the single most shaping book in my life concerning the voice of God, hearing, experiencing, and walking in the things of the Spirit. I cannot recommend this enough. It will change your life. I read it at least once a year. I've been doing that for the last 4 years, because every time I read it, I get something new out of it. It's really good. Same with Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. Again, just really easy reading theology on why we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit, why we need the power of the Spirit. The Gift of Prophecy by Wayne Grudem. I think this is a bit more academic, and if you're like me, I'm not that clever, so I struggled to work through it, but it is a good book to work through, and again, some really good insights. Another book that really has helped me is Growing in the Prophetic by Mike Bickle. This is a really good tool to help you understand how pastors work and how prophets work. I grew up in a church where it was really hard for pastors to understand me, because I was slightly weird. And very intense. I thought I was going to self-combust at one stage. And I've learned to kind of get some of that edge off and actually become a happy prophet. The Bible says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy above his companions. He's our great prophet. We need some happy prophets, not weird ones. Amen? Great. So Growing the Prophetic, really good. And then lastly, a book that has really been shaping my perspective on the purposes of God in today's world is a book called When Heaven Invades Earth by Bill Johnson. This has really helped me understand God's other world, as it were, and the kingdom of God, and stepping out in the things of the kingdom. And I'd say this book has helped me access and open up doors in the miraculous. And so I want to encourage you, it's not on the prophetic, but it will help you come into a supernatural lifestyle. So please go get those books. It will do you well to get them. Right. What time do I need to finish?
10 minutes.
10 minutes time. Great. I wonder if you could turn to Numbers 11, please. Numbers 11. Let's just love Jesus for a moment, shall we? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So let's just quickly talk to Jesus for a moment. I love him so much. He's so breathtakingly beautiful. There's nothing that compares to him. Why don't you just close your eyes and just... I love the presence of God. I'm addicted to it unashamedly. I hate boring meetings. We need Jesus in our meetings. Why don't you just go ahead and tell him you love him? God, you're fantastic. You're absolutely amazing. You're completely breathtaking. No one compares to you. No one matches your beauty. Father, we want to say that you overwhelm us again and again and again. And we just love you so much. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. We're not looking for more information. We want revelation, Father. God, we want revelation that activates us and moves us on to do the things that the Father tells us to do. And so we invite you, come and have your way. Come and touch people. Come and change people. Father, we thank you that the Spirit of prophecy is here. And Holy Spirit, the one who leads us into all truth and guides us, won't you come and lift the gaze of many people today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to read a familiar scripture out of Numbers chapter 11 and verse 24. It says this, "So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 of the elders. And as soon as the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue doing it. Now two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, 'Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp.' And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, 'My lord, Moses, stop them.' But Moses said to him, 'Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them.' And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp." This is possibly one of the most exciting scriptures in the Old Testament, speaking prophetically of a day when God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. I just love this text. Moses' cry, Moses' heart is, again, and we've just been hearing so much about this, not about him just doing the thing and his success. He was not concerned about his reputation. His passionate desire was for everyone to prophesy. That was his passionate desire. And I find it fascinating in the church today that we have the same kind of two responses. I think the first response is, and it's the response I possibly hate most, is that we run after prophetic ministries as if they're fortune tellers. And I find it fascinating that at the end of a meeting, you'll have a queue of people waiting for a prophetic word. Now, I want it to be known that it is biblical to go to prophets and ask for prophetic words because they get it in the Bible. However, it is not biblical that that's the first point of call.
Come on.
Because the Holy Spirit has been put on you and in you. And I find it fascinating that we have meetings, and I believe it speaks of the prophetic lack in churches today, that we have to fill our meetings with the names of prophets, and all of a sudden there are queues of people waiting for a prophecy. I wondered if many of them would still stay standing if they understood that after a prophetic word will come a time of testing. That could happen in Psalm 105 with Joseph. It says, until the word of the Lord came to pass, the Lord, the word of God, tested him. I think that will diminish most of the prophetic lines we have. And so we have this one response where there are people running after the latest prophetic meeting. I also want to say there is no point prophesying into someone's life if they are not linked into the context of a local church. Because you're just prophesying into a void. Individual prophecy always is worked out in God's bigger purpose, the church.
Yes.
So important that we understand. And the second response is kind of Joshua's response. You've got to stop all this prophesying stuff. We can't have this in our church. It makes it messy. I want to say prophecy makes your church messy. It makes your cell group messy. It makes your life messy. Because you're always feeling things. You're always sensing things. And you kind of think, what's going on? Can I switch this off sometimes? Makes life a bit messy, and we have this kind of response where we go, let's shut down prophecy because it's not quite PC, it's not quite seeker sensitive in some of our meetings. Can I just say something about the seeker-sensitive thing? It's time we became God-sensitive. For too long, we've built our meetings around the opinions and values of people rather than making God's house a place of habitation for His glory. It's so important that we understand that we can't shut down the manifestations of the Spirit in our meetings. It's what distinguishes us. I was in a meeting just recently, and I brought a word of knowledge about someone who was wanting to commit suicide. At the end of the meeting, this young man comes up to me weeping, saying, "That word was for me. I was thinking about committing suicide this week." I had the opportunity of leading him to Jesus. We can't shut this thing down.
That's right.
Because it's bringing glory to God. And I find that until we understand that who we are as Christians is simply a response to the voice of God speaking to us, and that we can hear His voice in our everyday life, in every context that we face, in order to bring glory to Him, we will not see the church move in power. It is the voice of God that called you to be saved. It is the voice of God that will sustain you in your encountering of your salvation. It is the voice of God that you will hear on that day when we meet Him. It is the voice of God. God is a speaking, laughing, happy God who wants to speak to you. I thought that was a good point. And the Bible says very clearly that those who are the sons of God are led by His Spirit. And I believe it's very important that before we get into the dynamics of prophecy, before we get into understanding the prophetic, that you get this one thing clear: your sons. Moses says, "I wish that all of God's servants were prophesying." And prophetically, that was fulfilled at the day of Pentecost with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, "Abba, Father." And it's those who are His sons who are led by His Spirit. Romans 8:14. You have prophetic DNA in you as part of you. You cannot be saved unless you've heard the voice of God. You know, I was doing a meeting just recently back home back home in South Africa, and I was going to be doing some teaching on the prophetic to a group of guys and girls who came from our local township, and I was preparing. And my first point always when I prepare stuff in the prophetic is the Word of God is our ultimate, is the ultimate key to revelation. So I'll go, you need the Word of God as the ultimate key to revelation, which I believe wholeheartedly. But the problem was 70% of that group couldn't read or write. So I'm thinking, I've got a problem with my first point. I felt the Lord say to me, "I want you to know it's not simply the Word of God. It is the Holy Spirit bringing personal revelation." It is the Holy Spirit bringing personal revelation. It's important that we understand the Holy Spirit comes and takes this and makes it alive to us. Without the Holy Spirit, this is dead. That's the truth. Jesus says that when the Spirit comes, He will take what is mine and give it to you. He'll reveal it to you. And so it's so important that we understand that on the day of Pentecost, Moses' cry that all God's people would prophesy was fulfilled. That means every single one of you in this room, if I should pick you out right now, should prophesy. Can I get a Pentecostal amen on that one? Because the crunch comes from understanding theologically that you can prophesy to stepping out in faith when you prophesy. And for many of us, that void seems so big because we've had so many incorrect models, we've had so many unhelpful expressions of the prophetic in the body of Christ that we shy away from it. When actually hearing God is what makes you naturally supernatural.
That's right.
My friend, you and I are called to be a people who are in constant communication with the Father. The Bible says in Psalms, I think it is, it says that the friendship of the Lord belongs to those who fear him. That word friendship is the word, the secret counsels of God belongs to those who fear him. There is on God's agenda for you today an opportunity to hear his secret counsels concerning your life and concerning the things that you're facing. What a privilege. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And we kind of leave that scripture right there. You know, I used to get those little kind of, you know, happy promise box readings, kind of like, reading your star sign for Christians. I know people who lived on them. This is what's going to happen today. Yay. And we quote that scripture as a nice, happy promise box reading, when actually the Bible says, but the Spirit reveals it to us. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search out a matter. You and I have the high privilege, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, of searching out the very depths and mind and heart and will of the Father. And the basis of that is not simply on a technological understanding of how to hear God's voice. It is an experiential encounter. Yep. Jesus did not say, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it, simply because he was talking about his prophetic ability to see into the Spirit. He said that because he had relationship the Father. Amen. The connecting word there is, I do nothing unless I see my Father do it. And for many of us, we don't come into flowing in prophetic because we do not understand our sonship. My friend, you can read many books on the prophetic and the dynamics of the prophetic, and we're going to model that in a moment. But if you don't get this settled, that you are sons, you'll live as orphans for the rest of your life, waiting for the command of God rather than the heart of God.
That's it.
You see, the prophetic is not simply just about hearing words that you can kind of put through your ears. The prophetic is about an encounter with a person, a real person.
Right.
I love what Jack Deere says in Surprised by the Power of the Spirit. He says this. He says, Jesus is not a doctrine, a theology, an abstract principle, a ministry, a church, a denomination, an activity, or even a way of life. Jesus is a person, a real person. And for many of us, when we come to seminars like this, we want to get the how-tos before we get the who-is. My friend, you and I need to understand the prophetic is about encountering the voice of God. Psalm 29 is a very powerful psalm describing the voice of God. It talks about deers giving birth at the sound of the voice of God. It talks about flashes of lightning at the sound of the voice of God. It talks about forests being stripped bare at the sound of the voice of God. It says, in the temple, all cry glory. The voice of God is about a revelation of his glory. It's about an experience of his glory, which is why in Hebrews it says that in the past they spoke by prophets, but today God speaks through his Son. Because he is the exact representation and revelation of God's glory. Right. When you hear God's voice, when you encounter God in the prophetic, it is not simply an exercise up here. It's not a cerebral exercise. It is an experiential encounter. And I think that's really hard for some people who are wired and motivated cerebrally and academically. But you know what? Faith requires an ability to press into that which is not seen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith comes by, or understanding comes by faith, not the other way around. See, for many of us, we try and understand before we have faith. The Bible says it's by faith that we understand. And as we approach the purposes of God, as we approach coming into an encounter of the prophetic, we need to understand that the first point is sonship and experience. Sonship and experience. That if you can't hear God in the quiet of your closet, if you can't win some secret battles, you're not going to have public victories.
Right.
You see, one of the things I find really difficult, one of the things I find the most discipline I need to have is hearing God for myself.
There you go.
It's easy. I can have a line of people here and prophesy over all of them. But let me go back to my room and close my door. I need to hear God for myself. And before you can flow prophetically, publicly, you need to get this thing right of hearing God for yourself. My friend, it's an experience. It's about intimacy. Secrets are only revealed to those who are intimate with the Father. That all fruitfulness flows from intimacy. Until we get to know Him, love Him, adore Him, encounter Him, everything else we'll do will simply be a clanging symbol. The word for prophecy in this context that we read is the word naba in the Hebrew, which means to bubble forth with divine emotion. It's an experience. Prophecy is not simply about the words you bring, but it's about the heart that gets revealed from the Father.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not about how you say it, but it's about what comes with it when you say it. So I want to give you some keys on coming into the prophetic. How many of you have done prophetic seminars before? Many of you. So you can all prophesy. That's great. I wanted to say, you know, God wants to speak to many of you today. But we're under no pressure to give you prophetic words. Some of you are saying, I want my money back. It's very important that we move the church from a place of simply receiving to activation.
Come on.
Because you're called to do the same stuff. Can I just say, a prophet, his primary job is not to prophesy. His primary job is to equip people to prophesy.
That's it.
I encourage you today, we want you to prophesy over one another. We want you to become a people who step out in the things of God. I'm going to cover some things because most of you have been on some sort of prophetic seminar. And trust me, mine has got no new revelation because there is really no new revelation. It's all about fresh revelation, isn't it? And so most of you know how God speaks, how He speaks to us, visions, audible voice, through the words, trances, encounters with God, the still small voice, which is the predominant way that God speaks to me. I often tell people, God doesn't speak to me with a Sean Connery accent going, Julian, this is the Lord speaking. That doesn't happen to me. I get simple impressions from God. Sometimes I get pictures from God. Sometimes I get a moving picture. Very often, I'll see things rather than just hear things. It's very important to remember that God doesn't just use the ability to hear or feel to speak to us. He uses many different ways, including vision, what I call it visionary encounters, where you're seeing something either in your mind's eye or through an open vision or through many different encounters. And so I'm sure many of you know that. Hearing God's voice is very simple. Here's the key. You guys ready for this? It's going to be great revelation. Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. That's the key. How many of you have heard God's voice? You want to slip up your hand? Great. I'm glad you're all putting up your hands because you shouldn't be here if you didn't hear His voice. The promise in John chapter 10 verse 27 is, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Now, I do know it's really difficult for many people to try and recognize or identify when God's speaking. And this is probably the biggest thing that I find in Christian circles today is, well, how do I know if it's God? Well, I think there are only two other places that voices can come from other than God. One is the devil, and that is so easy to recognize because he's not very clever. He's sneaky, but he's not actually very clever when he speaks to us, because it's rushed, heavy, guilt, legalistic, religious.
Come on.
Can I just say this quickly? I just want to throw this in a little side note. Sorry. The prophetic ministry will always unearth the spirit of religion. Because religion is the counterfeit that presumes what God would want us to do in any given situation. And so it blocks off his voice from us. And so if I smell religion, I'm like a bull in a china shop. I hate religion with a passion. I hate it. And the prophetic always unearths religion. And the enemy is the spirit of religion.
Yeah.
If you look at the spirit of Jezebel and the spirit of religion, they're very similar in nature, and they come straight from the enemy.
That's it.
Because it blocks the eyes and the ears of the people of God from receiving revelation for themselves. Yeah. And so legalistic, heavy, guilt-driven words come from God. Come from the enemy, sorry. Come from the enemy. Light, encouraging, good words come from God. You know, even in discipline, I don't know what it is about the fascination of discipline and prophets. Because most people will ask me this question, how do you bring a corrective word? As if they've got this agenda for the church. The Lord has spoken to me. The prophetic always sees the best.
Yes.
Do you know, even after David messed up so many times, in the New Testament, he's remembered as one who fulfilled the purposes of God in his own generation. God always sees the best. And the prophetic always sees the best. And even in correction, the prophetic always sees the best. And I want to illustrate it like this. When I was a kid, my mom used to give me a spank if I was naughty, which is biblical, by the way. I know it's not PC, but it's biblical. Throw that in. Sorry. I'm from South Africa, so I can share that publicly. They can't do anything to me. And so my mom would give me a smack if I was naughty. And she'd say, now you could go to your room and think about what you've done. And I'd be like really hot, sore, crying. My mom would come in with some hot milk and honey. And she'd say, no, we've forgotten this. Don't hold this against you. Have some hot milk and honey because it makes you feel really nice. And the discipline of God is sometimes like that. It's painful for a while, but there's always grace that comes in with it.
Amen.
God never disciplines apart from grace.
Amen.
He can't, because his nature is gracious. And it's so important that we understand that. So the enemy's thoughts are overwhelming, legalistic, and just unscriptural. The difficulty that most people find is trying to figure out if it's them or God. And the simple key is this. Is he going to build someone up? Is he going to bring glory to Jesus? Is he going to help the church? And if all those kinds of, if those things are covered, I say, step out. Step out. Because the worst that can happen is you get it wrong and it deals with your pride. Do you know, the number of times that I've got it wrong has been so influential in shaping me. Because the one thing you have to learn to deal with if you want to flow in the prophetic is the fear of man.
Yeah.
It is a snare.
Yeah.
And when I get up on, even you know, up on the stage, there is a fear that I feel. And I'm thinking, Lord Jesus in heaven, how on earth are you using a little boy from Cape Town to bring a shaping word? It's scary. Because the words of God are fearful. And you need to understand, it's not just about kind of a suave confidence that you have. It's about a fear of God first and a stepping out in the purposes of God. Yeah. So important that you understand that. All right? If those things kind of meet the criteria of biblical prophecy, step out on them. All right? I am presuming you all know how to hear from God, so I'm just kind of skipping right over that thing. I just want to say, we're going to see an increase of prophetic encounters in these days, both counterfeit and the real.
Come on.
And it's important that we stay firmly rooted to the Bible.
Amen.
All right? Get firmly rooted to the Bible. Don't sway off any of that, because the Bible is our ultimate and highest form of prophecy. It is so beautiful in every way, and it's important that we understand that. Right. How to activate some of the prophetic, just very quickly. What time did you say we're finishing? Great. We'll do some quick activation for 10 minutes, talk about it, and then we'll do some ministry after that. All right? First of all, expect God to speak to you. Your expectation is God's invitation.
Amen.
Don't you like that? I love that little saying. I'm a bit of a Pentecostal when it comes to one-liners. Your expectation is God's invitation. We have got to have faith when we approach God. We've got to believe that He is. And for many of us, we live our life from day to day without any expecting of God breaking in to those moments when you're really busy and you don't feel like hearing God's voice. And God speaks. We've got to live in a constant expectation that God is able and wants to speak. God is not a silent God. We've got to approach Him in our times with Him as one who believes that actually when I come to Him, He's going to speak to me. There are seasons where it seems like God is silent. And God will hide Himself not from us, but for us. Because there's a wonderful interplay in a relationship with the Father. He seems to love to hide Himself sometimes so that we're pressing after Him. And it's kind of a bit like an Easter egg hunt. My mum used to hide Easter eggs for me, not from me. The design of the hiding place, if she did hide it from me, I'm going to have some bitterness issues. The design of the game was the enjoyment of my face when I found it. And it's very similar with the Father, that He will hide Himself for us. Because have you had those moments when you've just gone through, it seems like the heavens are brass, and then you find Him again? And it's just exhilarating. You're like, I'll do that again a million times over just for this moment. It's all about an intimacy. It's all about a radical intimacy. Secondly, you need to expect Him to pray or to minister and speak through you. You see, it's not just about this, but it's about this and then this. It's about receiving and then giving. Very importantly, we don't get caught up in religious prayers and religious ways. You don't have to say this, thee, and thou. You don't have to, you know, have the kind of yea says God. I remember we used to have this woman in our church who would start shaking and go, yea says God. I was like, well, hide away, because I thought, what's going to happen? There's going to be a lightning bolt coming. The prophetic is very normal. You don't have to get all weird. I was in a restaurant a couple of months ago, and I felt God drop a word for me for the guy who was serving me. Felt like he was going through a divorce, or his parents were going through a divorce, and he was just really concerned about some things. And, you know, I didn't start shaking and trembling and getting, you know, I sense the Lord wants to bring some justification to you or sanctification. I used normal words. You know, God has an ability to creep into any culture.
Yes, he does. That's right.
You know? And just began to speak to Him, got to know Him. I didn't launch forward and tell Him, God says to you, your parents are going through a divorce. No, I just got to know Him as the meal went on. And by the end of it, I said, hey, I just feel like your folks may be going through a divorce and it's just really weighing heavy on your heart. And He's like, whoa, that's deep. Had an opportunity. You know, he didn't get saved, by the way. But he went home and he knew God spoke to him.
Yes, amen.
I was getting some meetings in Cornwall just recently, and this woman who's a clairvoyant came up to me afterwards, had been an ex-clairvoyant, came up to me afterwards and said, I did all this stuff. I've seen this kind of accuracy. But I was told I shouldn't do it in church anymore. And I thought to myself, the only reference of power that this woman has had has been demonic. It's about the source that you plugged into, by the way. Because signs and wonders are not impressive in terms of the enemy. The enemy can do signs and wonders too. What's impressive is that Moses' rod had the most authority. Yes. And the church needs to rise in her authority again. Yeah. All right? It's about being plugged into the right source. Yep. And I think it's very important that we understand that we've got something to give. All right? So expect him to speak through you. I just want to underline this thing about not getting all religious. Getting all weird and getting all intense. I love some of the young guys. They kind of get this vein that pops out in their foreheads as they're praying, and they just start going very red, and you think, Lord Jesus, this guy's going to have a heart attack. Please help me. Relax. God wants to speak to you, and he wants to speak through you. All right? Allow God to speak spontaneously. All right? Allow God to speak spontaneously. Don't get caught up in a rut of, you know, I know some people pray the same prayer every day. That's fine if you feel that's okay. But actually, God wants to speak to you, and he's quite diverse in the ways that he speaks. All right? And this is the last point. Have more faith in God's ability to lead you than the devil's ability to deceive you.
Come on. Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the church. They talk about seeing devils all the time. I'm like, I want to see angels. I don't want to see demons. You know, or everything's negative, and we need to watch this one, or we need to watch that one, or, you know, careful about that theology or this theology. Yes, we need to be careful. We need to guard our theology. Yes, we need to be a people who are true to biblical truth. But the Bible says in Luke 11:11, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he's not going to give you anything demonic. I don't know about you, but the devil is not God's equal. He's a created being. And I'm not into, we need to be wary of the devil's tactics. Don't get me wrong. The Bible says we need to be. But I've got more faith in God's ability to lead me and to bring me into ever-increasing victory than I do in the devil's ability to trip me up. All right? Great. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to illustrate how God speaks to me in the prophetic, and we're going to do a live demonstration. I am slightly nervous, all of a sudden. And I just want to walk you through it because I want you to see some of the dynamic in the prophetic, okay? Now, I'm obviously speaking concerning the prophetic word for someone or in a meeting, all right? So you need to understand that hearing from God for yourself is a personal thing. This is how to step out publicly, all right? I find three ways that God works with me. First of all, God generally gives me a word of knowledge. So I'll get something that will expose something, a piece of information that will help me get into the person. So they're going, whoa, God's got my attention, word of knowledge. The second thing that will happen is I'll get a prophecy. Now, I think there's a difference between a word of knowledge and prophecy.
Yes, sir.
Prophecy is about revealing the heart of God concerning that person. Very important that we understand we're not just into speaking words. This is the experiential part. We want to reveal something of God's heart. And the third thing is a word of wisdom. How do we now apply this? I believe God often, it's a spirit of revelation, it's a spirit of wisdom that works together so that we can apply and live out what God's spoken to us. All right? It's very important that we understand that because very often people get these kinds of words like, for example, I see a cow in a meadow chewing grass. Blessed be the word of the Lord. And they go and sit down. The gift of prophecy does not need the gift of interpretation. Tongues needs that. And I just, you know, cringe factor like 10 on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being really bad, in a meeting with unsaved people. That hardly makes for people falling down saying, God is in this place. We need to raise the bar of the prophetic a little bit more. Yes. You know, in the last couple of meetings we've been doing, we've begun to see more prophetic words spoken unsaved people or backsliders than I have over Christians, and they've got saved. Yeah. Yeah. I was in this meeting with this guy who was about, 18 or 19, and he had injured his wrist and had a cast on it, and he was totally unimpressed with me. He was not happy. His mum had clearly dragged him and said, you will come or I will beat you up. So he's sitting right at the back, unimpressed, really not happy. And I feel God, when I see people like this, I kind of zone in on them. So all of you are going to sit like this now. Anyway, I brought a prophetic word over this guy, so prophesying about, you know, just issues in his life, and God being able to download some key words of knowledge, and he begins to weep as the presence of God comes upon him. We then pray for his wrist, which gets healed. He's going like, whoa, this tingling all the way up and down my arm. Just incredible. At the end of the meeting, and I'm not a big gospel preacher, let me just tell you, I'm not the world's best evangelist. In fact, I don't even think I preached the gospel in 4 points and a poem. I just simply spoke about Jesus. And at the end, I said, anyone want to get saved? His hand, right up. And he responded to Jesus. We mustn't forget, we're not introducing people to the four spiritual laws. We're introducing them to Jesus. All right? We're introducing them to a person. Anyway, so those are the three ways that God works in me: word of knowledge, prophecy, and a word of wisdom. Now, I'm going to ask God for a live example quickly. So I'm going to ask God for a word of knowledge right now for this room, for someone. Then I'm going to prophesy over them. And I might ask some of the team to help me prophesy over them and see what God does. Now, I need you to know I'm stepping out in faith. I'm already starting to feel shaky, all right? And you need to understand it's okay. Fear is a natural response to the presence of God. You know, people say, you mustn't be scared of God. Well, no, actually, you should. He is God. And so I'm gonna step out and ask God for a word of knowledge. Now, in my mind, I just want to help you because I want to be as real as possible with some of these things. In my mind, I'm thinking, God, you need to give me something. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. All these eyes looking at me. Okay? Now, you need to understand that that's very natural. It's okay. Because I know there's some prophets who, you know, are just like gung-ho and they seem to have it all together. Trust me, they feel this too. All right? You need to know that. So let's just pray. For me, worship is the key to unlocking the prophetic. So I'm constantly in a place of worship. Tongues is a wonderful gift. So why don't you go ahead and begin to pray. We can ask God for a word of knowledge right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love your presence, Lord. We think you're wonderful. Amazing, Lord Jesus. Amazing, Lord Jesus. Okay. Now I'm going to step out in a word of knowledge. If this is you, I need you to be brave and stand up. I really, you know, I don't mind people coming up after and saying, actually, that word was for me. But sometimes I just want to go, why didn't you stand up? I mean, come on. And the reason why is not just because it makes me look good, but because it builds faith in the room, okay? And so that's why, if this makes sense to you, please don't leave me hanging. We want to give glory to God, okay? I felt God just speak to me about somebody in the second half of this block, and I think you're kind of from this row across over here, so in the second half over there, I just felt God speak to me about a fear of death, and I felt it had to do specifically with either a family member who's recently died of cancer, and you're afraid that that might have an effect on you, you might get cancer. And the last couple of weeks, you've just been dominated by a real fear that you will either contract cancer or there's death. I think you might be somewhere else, okay? But I think you're in this section in the second half. If that's you, quickly, won't you slip up your hand? There's a fear of death. Okay, great. There are two of you. Right. Let's get the lady up, and then we'll pray for the gentleman afterwards. Great. So that was a word of knowledge. Ooh, I better be careful, yeah? That was a word of knowledge, just trying to demonstrate something of God's heart. My sister, do you mind coming to the front? It just helps. One of the things I do as a single man, thanks, Guy, is when I pray for ladies, I make sure that I have a lady with me, because actually prophecy is carrying something of the divine emotions of God. And it's very important that we protect ourselves, because it's such an emotional thing. So I'm going to ask Charlene just to come and stand with me. Charlene's at the Beacon Church plant. If you want to join that church plant, a really cool church plant. Right, what's your name, my dear sister?
Cassie.
Right. Do you want to lift up your hands? Father, I want to thank you for Cassie. Why don't you guys join now? Let's extend faith. We've just got a word of knowledge. We're going to ask God to speak now. If any of you guys have got anything, please come up. Father, first of all, Lord, we want to pray that you would break this fear of death and of cancer right now in Jesus' name. Just feel the Lord wants you to know, my sister, that you are so valuable to him. And it's almost like you felt like there's been a devaluation of who you are, who you are as a woman, who you are as a mom, who you are as a wife, whatever the situation is. It's just like there's been a sense in which you felt devalued. And it's almost like your confidence has been knocked. And the Father wants to say to you that you are valuable. You're the apple of his eye. And I feel like God is going to begin to break open some things for you in these days concerning who you are. And I feel like there's been a stretching in your life, and there's been almost a sense of a cloud of depression. Mm-hmm. They would try and blur your vision, and you've not been able to see clearly. The Lord's just lifting it off of you right now. He so loves you. He so loves you. He wants you to know you're his. You're his. Just continue to receive. Continue to receive. Now, just as she's receiving, I want you to know this is the moment we look for in the prophetic. Where God's heart, can you sense how the atmosphere has just changed? Because God's heart is near. God's heart is here. It's not about how loud your vocal cords are. It's not about how much you shout. It's not about how much scripture you quote. It's about the heart of God. That's what we're after. Have you guys got anything? Come on, Sam.
I just got the phrase, this is a day of release for you. And I really sense that God is releasing upon you a new freedom in the Spirit to delight in the Lord, to rejoice in him, to find great just pleasure in being in his presence. I just see you like this beloved daughter with the Father. And I believe God's going to begin to bring greater revelation to you. I believe you're here for that hunger, and there's been something growing recently in your heart, hearing his voice, and I believe God's going to open up new dimensions of hearing the voice of the Lord and moving in the prophetic from this day onward. There's a release upon you, and we speak it over you today, a release in the realm of the Spirit to hear the voice of the Lord and to be a real blessing to the church and to the people that you're involved with. And there's going to be a delight in that and a joy in it that's going to be like a river flowing from you and bringing life to others. And I see also healing gifts being given to others through you. I see people being set free and broken from sickness and disease as you move in the realm of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I really just sense that God's saying that this is a day of new dancing for you. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like I've seen you sitting on the sidelines for too long, and God's called you onto the dance floor. And I even feel like he's saying that he's equipped you. I just see you changing shoes, and I feel like God's saying that you're ready. Mm-hmm. You're ready for the new...
Thank you, Lord.
You're ready for the new dance that he has planned for you. And I feel like God's saying that you would be someone who dances in freedom, that you see others set free in freedom to dance before the King. And I feel like God's saying there's anointing on you to bring joy, even into the darkest situations, even to the, even into the quietest situations. I see noise being just, gushing forth and people breaking out into song. And I feel like God's saying that he's going to use you as a woman who brings joy and freedom, who brings about a new dance, who brings about freedom to the King. Captors.
Just believe that God's speaking to you, that he is releasing generational blessings to you, not generational curses. Believe the enemy has held over your head generational things, and God speaks to you and the generations that follow you, that you are not to fear for those that follow you. The fear has not just been for you, but it's been even for your children and for your children's children. And God says he is not a God who authors curse, but he's a God who authors blessing. And God says even to the third and fourth generation, you will see the blessing of God not only spiritually but physically on your family. And God says this is also to speak to you a day of restoration, for there is one that you'd loved that has gone far even from the ways of God. And the Lord comes to you today and he says there is a turning that is coming. And this will be a sign to you that there will be a turning even towards the Lord and a new refreshing coming to that one who has walked away and is no longer walking in the path of God.
Yeah, and I just feel like you need to know there is life that is flowing now. And that this is a new day for you, and that the curse of cancer and death is broken. And I just see God really opening his word afresh to you, that there are going to be some promises that are going to jump out at you that you can do some warfare with. And God wants to encourage you, daughter, it's day of destiny. You can run and rise into your destiny in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I don't believe this lady is the only one that God wants to set free from things that have affected generations. And I believe, I'm already feeling that in this room there are people who kind of have this baggage of not being able to move into a new arena because they're weighed down by fears. And sometimes they're immobilized, perhaps even literally, through the devil's tactics of bringing in generational things. And I believe he wants to break them off people today. And some of those will take the form of illnesses, and some of those will take other forms. And I'm just going to reel off the sort of illness things first, because that's the easiest. There's someone who gets these recurring problems in the neck, and you end up wearing a collar thing. And there's someone who gets problems in the kind of first half of the lumbar vertebrae, and it's sort of always strategic and comes and just distracts you from the things that God's got for you. And God wants to touch that and break something off that actually is generational. And you kind of being worried about where things are going with that. Then there's someone who has ongoing problems with your bladder, basically, let's say, and that actually runs in the family as well. There is someone else who has deafness problems. You're not totally deaf, but you suffer with problems with your hearing that gets progressively worse. And that, again, I believe God wants to snap that off someone. I believe even now he's already working with someone on that. And then there's someone else, and you have some kind of joint problem, and I have no idea what it is, some kind of joint problem that other members of the family have had, and that can pose problems as well. Now, some of these things, obviously I don't know the names of, but if that's you, I really believe you should stand or something so that we can pray for that. Then there's someone else, a lady who has had female members of her family suffer with problems to do with the reproductive organs, and the way that they get cysts and become some of them become cancerous, those, again, I believe God wants to break off. There is someone somewhere out here that's got this back condition that I referred to. You may not think it's generational, but it is. And he wants to break it off you. You know, you may not be suffering right now, but at times it comes and it flattens you. There is someone else and you have a recurring problem with your right knee. And again, that's other members of the family have had it. There are other things other than illnesses as well. And these have to do with states of mind, that you get kind of bouts of bad depression. And that weighs you down and holds you back. There are people who you get into your thinking that God can't use me. And again, that sort of gets in the way and holds you back. Yeah. And some of these things just run in the family. Can I tell us to keep going?
Yeah.
There's this other thing that came before we started praying for this lady over here that's not a generation thing at all. But it's something I've felt recently in gatherings where I've been, and I felt it again here, that it's a time, you know, that we're living in with the church, where the church is coming into a new arena. The spotlight is going to start coming onto God's church. And he's bringing people through into that new arena. And there's two groups of people that I've kind of been seeing in gatherings. And one is like, in the story of David, he does everything he's bidden to do for his father. He's the runt of the family. He's out with the sheep. And there comes a day when David is asked by his dad to go and take provisions for his brothers. And on that day is the day when Goliath's out in the field shouting. And there's a moment where David hears that crying and that shouting, and he puts down that he's carrying for other people. And he steps into a new arena. He puts that baggage down and he becomes who he is in God. That runt of the family steps into a battlefield and says, who is this? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And I believe there are people here, and you've been quietly being faithful, you've been serving others, but you've had things burning in your heart, particularly in this whole prophetic realm of wanting to move out, and you've kept thinking, well, I can't this and I can't that. And they do that. And I believe as well, I'm speaking to a lot of women in this. It's time some of the women stepped into this arena. And God's saying to you today, right, put that down now. Step into a new arena. Step in. Step into that God has chosen you for, that God has anointed you for. And that other group of people are like the day that Saul was about to be anointed king, and they couldn't find him, and he was hiding. He was hiding in the baggage. And some people here, you're hiding in your baggage. You're hiding in the baggage of, well, I can't do that. I'm very quiet. I can't go out to the front. Oh, I can't do that. What will people think of me? Oh, I can't do that. How will that affect my job? How will that affect my role in the church? There's so many things that can be your baggage, but you hide behind that. Yeah. But God said that day, look, see whom God has chosen. Yeah. Will you look and see whom God has chosen? And will you put your baggage down? And will you step out into that arena? Will you step out into that anointing that each one of us has in these days? We have an anointing from the Holy One. Right. You are him who the Lord has chosen, and you are her whom the Lord has chosen. This is not a sexist issue. This is for men and women. Right. And when we talk about sonship, ladies, you are sons of the living God. So I just want to... I just want to exhort those people to come and step into that arena. This is a defining time in the church, and it's not just particularly this moment here now, but in these days we're living in, this is a defining time. Take hold of that and step in to that arena that God wants to use you in. Step in and step out from behind baggage. Put other people's stuff down. Sorry.
Right.
I think the Lord's just given us his agenda for this morning. I really do. I just want to add one thing on there, because we're going to pray just in a moment for many, and then we'll see what God does. I believe there are some here who have lived under the curse of not receiving revelation from God's word. So you read the Bible and you just get nothing out of it. In fact, some of you, you can read novels for days on end, but when you read the Bible, you instantly fall asleep. And some of you, this happens to you regularly. You'll start to read and you'll just fall asleep because you can't seem to concentrate on the Bible. God wants to break some things off. And I feel the first thing we want to do, some of the words of knowledge that Jenny just brought, I want people to stand up when they pray for that to happen. I think the second bit about coming and taking your place in the arena of God, I feel like there's, we want to do a separate ministry for that, because I think there's something in that. It's actually going to crack some prophetic things open. There are a number of prophetic people here who have been given profile in church, as it were, and in different contexts, that we want to release to minister to some of you, all right? There's going to be plenty of time for prophecy in the next 2 days, but God's just set the agenda, and we need to respond to it. So if you have any of those words of knowledge that was just brought by Jenny, and this thing of not being able to read the Bible, I want you to quickly stand to your feet very quickly all over this place. We're going to pray. And I wanted to say the two things that you need to realize when you come for prayer is that this is not a passive thing. All right? This is not a passive thing. Don't come thinking, I'll wait for something to happen to me. This is a context where you need to press in by faith. Faith pleases God, and I believe 100% in the sovereignty of God, but he loves to partner with our faith sometimes.
Yes, he does.
And it's important that we partner with God in this, all right? And so those of you standing, I want to encourage you to get ready to receive from God. Things are going to be broken off of you. Some of you are going to feel the presence of God in a very remarkable way right now. This is God going to do this, all right? We're going to speak healing over some of you right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Just begin to receive. Let's not rush this moment. Let's not, whoa, rush this moment. Don't rush this moment. Father, let your glory fill this place right now. I wonder if some of the guys want to just begin to bless what God's doing all over this place. You know, pray for some people if you can. You need to call them out. Kim, if you would be free to do that. I know Greg has them. I know you're prophetic, so if you feel you want to do some stuff, please feel free. Come, Holy Spirit. I'm just going to begin to pray, and we're going to break some things right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your anointing which destroys the yokes of bondage of people. We thank you that a curse, Lord God, lasts for 1, 2, or 3 generations, but your blessing lasts for 1,000 generations. And right now I want to speak over many people who have come under the curse of generational issues, Lord God. I want to speak, Lord God, to the hiding place of enemy strongholds in people's lives right now. And in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. I speak to bodies, I speak to minds, and I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Somebody is getting set free from a fear of mental illness right now. In the name of Jesus, I break mental illness, anxiety attacks, panic attacks. I break that right now in Jesus' name. I break it right now. I speak a release of healing and life right now to begin to flow over people right now, like a mighty wave begin to wash over people right now in Jesus' name. I break the ceiling of limitation. I break the spirit of lack. I break, Lord God, an inadequacy in your people that have held them for so long. And I say in Jesus' name, be free. Be free right now in Jesus' name. I thank you that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Yeah. Right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. In Jesus' name. There is a lady with a a kind of blue cup on my right, your left, telling that lady over there, the power of God is just coming upon you right now to break some things off of you in the area of your mind that's held you for a long time. The Lord is going to release you to be the woman he's called you to be. There is a Ruth anointing on you, and you've been gleaning at the edge of the farm for too long. The Lord says it's time to eat at the kinsman redeemer's table. And we break right now that thing of gleaning at the edge of the farm, just eating leftovers. God, we speak right now a release of life. God's breaking off right now. It's going to be like a lightning bolt. It's just going to hit you right now. Bam. In Jesus' name. There it goes through you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Release. Thank
you, Lord Jesus. Just feel Richard Thomas. I just feel the Spirit of God. When Jenny was bringing that word about David, and the whole sense of who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God. There's a righteous anger that is rising up in you. A boldness which God wants to, by his Spirit, just put on you. A shout that comes out of you, not just being the nice, tame Richard Thomas that has been, but a apostolic mandate, a righteous calling to summons people to great endeavors, to actually take off a giant's head and to enable a battle to be won. And I feel the Spirit of God, it just wants to touch you right now and to give you that Holy Spirit of boldness, not of fear, not of what men will think of you, but a boldness to claim your inheritance. You're thinking, who am I in this gathering? But God is saying, I'm calling you. Have you got any more sons? Said Samuel. And he anointed David. He's anointing you, Richard. He's anointing you. It's anointing of the Holy Spirit that's coming on you that is for the blessing of many, many people and for the tearing down of the enemy's strongholds. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Just bless that man. Release him in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I just feel like this anointing of God is beginning to rest on many of you right now. You begin to sense the presence of God. This is going to get messy just for a moment. But I believe we need to do this. If that's you, I want you to quickly get out of your chair, come down to the front. You know God's beginning to rest on you. All right, we just want to bless what God's doing right from the outset. I want you to quickly come to the front. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, the reason why I'm asking you to do this is because we just want... God often works in waves. The presence of God often works in waves. And we just want to let a flow of God just come upon you. We're going to do some impartation in this context right now. Come, Holy Spirit. I know there's some of you right now, you can just fill it up. Don't worry. Whoa, right now, in Jesus' name. Father, let your glory begin to sweep through this place right now. We speak to many who are called into the arena of the prophetic right now. And in Jesus' name, we say it's time for you to come out right now. Come out from hiding places. Come out from those places which have kept you for so long. In Jesus' name, we break, Lord God, a fear of the prophetic. We break a fear of coming out. We release women right now in the name of Jesus. We release women to come out onto the prophetic playing field right now in the name of Jesus. We release men right now to take their place in the prophetic right now. In Jesus' name, we break a ceiling of limitation right now. In Jesus' name, we break it right now and we release the glory of God right now in this place. In Jesus' name, we set people free right now in the name of Jesus. Freedom in this place right now. We break the hold of the enemy right now in Jesus' name and we proclaim freedom in this place. Freedom right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. If you are wanting a release in the prophetic, we can't have more people coming down to the front, but if you know you need a release of the prophetic, there is a wave that is going to come upon many. I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to do some impartation. These two words that Jenny brought, I believe, is the agenda for today, that God wants to release many of you onto a new arena. And so I want you to get ready. Don't worry about how messy it gets. God's here. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, lift up your hands because they're going to be gifts that are going to be released right now. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. The prophetic right now, it's going to be like a mighty wave. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we release your glory in this place. And we speak an impartation concerning the prophetic right now, like a wave. Break out right now in Jesus' name. Fire right now. Fire right now. We release it. We release it. There it is. Jeremy, that's the prophetic for you. Break out on you right now in Jesus' name. Right now. Right now. In this middle section right over here. The